There's a new Dick Biondi biopic coming out to be previewed at the Desplaines Theater this Sunday. Let's take a little listen.
For the past 9 years, the folks at Real Stories Productions have been working on the definitive biography of legendary disc jockey Dick Biondi. Well, now you can see that film at a special sneak preview at the Desplaines Theater at 2 o'clock on May 21st. And not only will you see a terrific movie, but there will also be a Q&A with a director and a live performance by the Stingrays Oldies Band. If you're not familiar with Dick Biondi, just listen to what these stars have to say.
Twisting down the dial and going from the low numbers to the high, and you passed that voice of his, you had to go back. Just we had never heard anything like it.
The Village Idiot, the Supersonic Spaghetti Slooper, the Nut.
He is the real deal. He is certainly one of the great representations of what radio was all about.
He introduced listeners to Elvis Presley, Buddy Holly, Jerry Lee Lewis, the greats.
Dick Biondi was the first disc jockey to play a Beatles song. Dick was playing them 9 months before they ran on Sullivan.
This is the Wild Italian Dick Biondi.
In 1963, we recorded Surfer Girl, and then Mike said, why don't we take it to Dick Biondi? They played it, and people called in on the phone saying, we love that record.
Dick Biondi was truly one of the most influential figures in the history of rock.
There's nobody like Biondi. We listen every single night. We never missed a show. You know, Dick became the voice in our heads. Dick Biondi was the voice in our cars, the voice under our pillows, and the voice that rocked America.
Here you are, stick around, we'll have some fun.
If you love rock and roll, then you'll love this movie. Thank you, Real Stories Productions.
All right, Dick Biondi, the legendary DJ, is being honored in a new documentary, The Voice That Rocked America, the Dick Biondi story, directed, filmed, and narrated by Chicago filmmaker Pamela Police, founder of Real Stories Productions, and she joins us tonight. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I am great. Man, this has been a long time labor of love for you to celebrate this Radio Hall of Famer, right?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? It's actually been 9 years and counting.
Wow.
Yeah. And to tell you the truth, it started way back when I was a kid, 13 years old. I just fell in love with this guy. I started a fan club for him. And you know what? I still have a fan club for him all these years later.
That's great. That's great.
Isn't that crazy?
He's covered so many generations. I mean, my father will always talk about Dick Biondi as being the guy. And, you know, it's funny, even though he was here for a few years in Chicago, you know, with WLS at the time, and came back in different iterations. But I think people always think he was here, and he wasn't always here. He made it around the country.
Oh, he sure did. That's why I chose that title, because he is a national figure, and he's a rock and roll icon, a radio icon. You know, he started early with Elvis and Little Richard and all those guys, and he was playing black music before anybody was playing it. As a young man, and turned to rock and roll, and he was there when all this happened, and he started introducing all these young hipsters, you know, like Bobby Bear, and then Frankie Avalon, Bobby Rydell, Tony Orlando, and all these people are in my film. Bobby Darin's not, but the others are. It's just remarkable, and you know, he went on from there. He went to Buffalo, and he was huge in Buffalo. And there's a funny story about how he got fired in Buffalo that's in the movie. It's hysterical. And then he came to Chicago. So he, and later after he got fired at WLS in Chicago, he went out west to KRLA, where he introduced the Beatles, Rolling Stones, in concert. And, then he ended up coming back to WCFL, and he introduced all the local rockers, you know, the Ides of March, the New Colony Six, the Crying Shames, the Buckinghams, Jimmy Sons, and the Shadows of Night, all those groups, the Mods. I mean, there were so many.
There was a time, though, too, Pam, that DJs of the 50s, 60s, and 70s wore a badge of honor when they got fired or they were ripping management on the air, which I'm not doing tonight, by the way. But Dick, he wore it as a badge of honor. He made that most of his career on air, was talking about the meeting he just had in the boss's office, you know?
And there were a lot of those meetings, let me tell you.
They were. So talk about how all this came together. 9 years in the making. Finally seeing a little bit of a preview on Sunday with some music, some live music. Talk to us a little bit about the biopic itself.
Well, let me. I know I called it a sneak preview. And the only reason I did that is because even the movie is actually complete. However, it's not licensed yet. And I need to raise money. I can't say the film is done, because it's not done. But if you're going to see a whole movie. You're going to see the whole story. And you ask how it got started. I've known Dick since I was a kid. I've known him my whole life. And I've known his story and how important his contribution is to rock and roll and radio and humanity. And I kept thinking somebody's going to make a documentary about him. And I asked him, actually I waited till after I retired, and I was still dabbling in my video production. I had my independent Real Stories production business. I was dabbling in it, having fun with it, but I called him up one day, still at WLS-FM, and I said, Dick, have you been approached by anybody to do a documentary? He said, yeah, actually I was talking to a couple people about it, and I said, oh, great. Well, a year went by, and I never heard any more, so I asked him. And he said, oh, no, nothing's going on. I said, oh, boy, somebody's got to do this. So what the heck? It turned out to be me.
I love it. Pam, I love that. And as you mentioned, you partnered with Chicago Filmmakers, a 501c3 nonprofit organization, and you can make a donation to this film to get it licensed. It's dickbiondifilm.com/donate, but tickets for this Sunday show, and this is going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be some live music as well, a concert of Golden Oldies happening there as well. But Ron Onesti, we love this guy. The DesPlaines Theater.com is where you want to go and get tickets, and really excited about this. And I would say, folks, if you grew up listening to Chicago radio, especially Dick Biondi, make a donation, help this film be completed.
Thank you, Dave. This is awesome. And may I just say that Carl Giammarisi of the Buckinghams and Ray Graffia and Ronnie Rice from the New Colony 6 and Jim Pilster from the Crime Shame will be special guests that day. And we're going to have a guitar auction signed by them.
I love it. Love it. Pam, thanks again. Yeah. Sunday again to DesPlaines Theater. You can get there at 1 o'clock. The film starts at 2, and DesPlainsTheater.com's got the tickets, and then DickBiondiFilm.com/donate to make a contribution. Pam, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear. All right, take care. All right, Bob Surratt, John Records, Landecker, celebrate Dick Biondi with me next here on 720 WGN.
The Voice That Rocked America, the Dick Biondi story, will be previewed this Sunday at the DesPlaines Theater at 2 p.m., and I talked to two radio legends here at WGN Radio, Bob Surratt and John Landecker, about Dick Biondi's legacy.
For people who weren't growing up in Chicago in the 60s and don't really understand the Dick Biondi magic, these days, if you get 2%, 3%, or 4% of an audience share in the ratings, you are one of the more successful people in the country. Dick had 56% of the audience.
Isn't that crazy? I know. Yeah.
During his 9 to midnight show on WLS in the early 60s.
But Dick was he at the station when you guys got there, or was Mm-mm. he? No, he was gone by that point.
Well, this is the thing. But yeah. Bob will know this specifically. Yeah. Dick has a great legacy and history and iconic and all of that in Chicago, and at WLS. But I believe the WLS job lasted only 2 or 3 years. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think by 1963 or the end of 63, he was gone. He came back for a while on WCFL in the late 60s, but then he was gone. He was gone from Chicago somewhere in the late 60s. He left, and he was gone until he returned in the 80s. And that's kind of where the story of the TV show I did and Dick Biondi comes in. I was at Channel 2 at the time, working for the news department and also doing some specials. And I did a series of specials called Where Are They Now? And for whatever reason, in 82 or 83, and Dick had been gone, as I say, about 15 years or more, and he kind of was, I don't want to say forgotten, but you know, in the age before the internet, it was hard to follow these people and keep track of them and hear them. And so it took a little bit of detective work to figure out that Dick had moved to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and he was doing a morning show on an FM station there and leading a kind of quiet life, playing golf and working at this small station. So we went down there and did a feature on Dick and what he was doing now, and interviewed him and showed him playing golf and doing his show in Myrtle Beach. And that show, it was a primetime special on Channel 2. They preempted something one summer night for the show. And the show was enormously successful, in large part due to the popularity of Dick Biondi and the fact that we promoted that we would tell you about Dick. And a manager at WBBM-FM at the time hired Dick because of all the commotion that this TV show stirred up, brought Dick back for a morning show on BBM-FM in the 80s. That didn't last that long, but then Dick moved on from there, and he stayed in Chicago through the remainder of the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s, until he was just, on WLS-FM recently.
I think he and Ron Britton sort of launched Oldies 104.3 together.
But isn't it wild? Because if you're a Chicagoan, you kind of in your mind think that Dick has been on the radio here nonstop since 1960.
And at WLS for the past 40 years.
You really
right?
do. I mean,
yeah, that's right.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
And how many people say, I was listening the night he made that joke, and that joke never happened. The one
that
allegedly
right?
got him fired about skirts being too short and the resulting cosmetic applications that would be required after that.
Yeah. I think there were two or three different
scenarios,
different quote, dirty jokes,
yeah.
Unquote,
yeah.
attributed to him. That
None of
that
which
never,
happened. None of it happened.
Mentioned.
Never happened.
No, he had a big fight with the sales department, I guess, of the radio station, because he thought there were too many commercials in his show, and Dick ended up, I don't know, throwing a punch or an ashtray or something, whatever, and he was asked to just cool off for a while and leave, and then Dick, being a guy who has a lot of pride, I guess never really apologized, and eventually just, I don't know if he was fired or quit, but left the station at that time. And I remember as a kid, that was the big news. It was, where's Dick? What happened? And I can almost still remember the night Art Roberts, who took over the show, came on and explained that Dick was no longer there, and it was a big deal for the kids to go through that.
You know, Dick has made a career of reaming management on the air.
Is that
every
right?
single job?
That's awesome.
You know, like, the boss is going to do this. The boss did that. I can't stand the boss. What's wrong with the boss? He did it when I was with him at 104.3. He did it at 94.7. I think he's been doing it his entire career. It's part of Dick's thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I heard you say, because I saw clips of the film, that Dick was there for everybody. And you kind of said he was in the recording studio when the Stones did Satisfaction with kind of a jealousy that he was there.
I never interpreted that clip to be... have any kind of jealousy to it, but you're the second person to mention that word, so I guess it's there. I would take it as admiration and astonishment.
Okay,
that any disc jockey would be in any studio with a group the stature of the Stones doing one of their biggest hits ever.
That's huge.
Dick is one of the, and maybe the last remaining air personality, rock and roll disc jockey, if you will, who's been there from the very, very beginning. And he met... personally and made friends with and had relations with many of the early iconic performers. Anybody from Tony Orlando, the Beach Boys have a story about him when he worked out at KRLA and playing
Elvis.
One of their songs. It goes on and on.
Yeah, he actually was on stage at the Hollywood Bowl and out in California introducing the Beatles out there. Yeah. And he also, years before that, was at an event where he was on stage with Elvis. So not too many guys have that history with them.
Well, Bob, you clearly said, and you raised Biondi to the title of the American rock and roll disc jockey. I mean, that's really who he is.
Yeah, well, I've said this before, that Dick, until very recently here, was still in the game. He was still on the air. He was still very active. Yeah. And I think had Dick not been, you know, there would have been a movie about him years ago. There would have been statues about him. A few years ago, I got involved in with Alderman Brendan Riley, and we had a street dedicated to him. It was actually supposed to be sort of, you know, right next to the Stone Container Building, well, what was then the Stone Container at 360 North Michigan, where Dick did his legendary shows. But something happened. There was a paperwork error in the streets a few blocks away, but it's kind of near the alley where you can see the studio window there.
That's cool.
And, but Dick would have many more accolades. He's in all the halls of fame, but because he's still been active and he's still been around, you know, there hasn't been a lot of to-do about him.
Thank you, Bob and John. The Voice That Rocked America, the Dick Biondi story, will be previewed this Sunday at the Des Plaines Theater, 2 p.m. For tickets, visit DesPlainsTheater.com.